Walt Podcast. Make the most of your Walt Disney World vacation.
Our top six personal memories at Walt Disney World. Hi, I'm Herb Leibacher, and welcome to episode number 14 of the World of Walt Podcast. Make the most of your Walt Disney World vacation for the week of March 29th, 2015. This is the podcast for Walt Disney World fans, whether you're planning your next trip or just enjoy reliving a little bit of Disney magic. Before we dive into today's topic, please stick around till the end of the show. I've got some information on how we can stay in touch and some important details on how you can win a great prize just for listening. Today we have a topic that is close to the heart. I've often thought that beyond the parades and the fireworks, beyond the characters and the technology, the true magic of Walt Disney World is in how it creates memories for us and our friends and the ones we love. Today we're going to talk about a very personal topic, our top six personal memories from Walt Disney World vacations. To help me explore this topic, I'd like to welcome someone who has enough Disney memories to fill the moat around Cinderella Castle, Aaron Cohen. Aaron, welcome to the show.
I'm not sure how they would do that.
I'm not sure either, but I think it could still happen.
I mean, sure, it's Disney magic. Anything can happen.
That's right. Yep. They can take memories and do amazing things with them. All right, before we get into the topic for today, I'd like to start off with a warm-up question. It's easy. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
All right, here's your question. Main Street Electrical Parade or Spectro Magic?
I'm going to have to say Main Street Electrical Parade.
Tell me about it.
I mean, aside from just being a Disney icon and such a classic, it's a fun parade. You know, you've got, you know, just all those lights at night, and something about seeing it just takes you back to, not like, you know, takes me back, you know, from when I was a kid and seeing this, you know, growing up going to Walt Disney World a lot. You know, there's so much of Walt Disney World that has obviously been updated for modern times, and attractions come and go, and, you know, the technology changes. But the Mixed Electrical Parade has been basically the same for so long that it's just, it's magical. And the song is my ringtone on my cell phone, so there is that too.
Yeah, that's a definite vote then for the Main Street Electrical Parade. I'm with you on this one. I have always thought the Main Street Electrical Parade was awesome. Just the whole concept of a parade at night with all the lights. And I have to say, Spectro Magic, the guys with the sort of light-up faces, those pixie people, always sort of freaked me out a little bit. So I was happy when they went back to the Main Street Electrical Parade. It just seemed closer to what I remember as being the highlight of an evening at the Magic Kingdom.
I always have to see it when I'm there.
Yeah, me too. And I know that some of it's a bit dated, so I can't recall the last time I watched Pete's Dragon, but you know, it was probably more than a decade ago. But still, it's fun to see Pete in his dragon glory headed down Main Street USA. And the salute to America at the end is always fun, too. So it's a fun parade, a good way to cap off your day. All right, we are going to talk about our top six personal memories from Walt Disney World trips. So, Aaron, for number one, over to you.
So my first one actually happened a couple of years ago. My wife and I were on our honeymoon at Walt Disney World, which really the whole trip was magical and full of memories. But there was one moment we were watching the parade at Magic Kingdom, the 3 o'clock parade, which started right around 3 o'clock. And we're wearing our happily ever after buttons on our shirts. And when the Cinderella scene goes by, there's these mice dancing, you know, the Cinderella's mice are dancing along, and one of the mice, you know, sees us and sees the buttons in particular, and rushes over to us and you know, kind of claps and jumps up and down and hugs us both, and then, you know, kind of motions, pantomimes for us to hug each other and kind of claps all excited when we do that, and then dances off. It was just this random thing. I mean, the performer just as easily could have kept walking as part of the parade, but stopped and took this extra couple seconds to really kind of call us out and make us feel special. And it was just a really a powerful moment for me, and just this really big example of just that kind of making us part of the story at Magic Kingdom that day.
And isn't it fun that that mouse took the time to do that? So it may be in the mouse's job description, I don't know. But the fact that they do, and it makes you feel so special, I think is one of the things that's really unique about Walt Disney World.
Yeah, it's, you know, I'll admit, I got a little something in my eye there when it happened. Must have been some dust in the air or something like that.
Probably pixie dust, yes.
It must be it.
Good. That's a good story. I like that one. All right, number two, over to me. I've ordered my stories in chronological order from little to big and bigger. So this story is when I was a kid and I was with my mom and dad, and it was just the Magic Kingdom back in those days. And we were waiting in line for It's a Small World. It was also the time when there was sometimes a pretty sizable line for It's a Small World. And it was also way back in the days when you had to have a ticket every time you wanted to go on an individual ride. So my dad had all the B tickets and the D tickets and the E tickets that were in vogue at the time. And we were going back and forth in the switchback queue. And somehow the way the queue was set up, we were able to talk with a cast member who collected the tickets several rows before we actually got to that person and had to give them a ticket. And the cast member, I still remember, he said, "If you can name all seven dwarfs, I'll let you go on this ride for free." And I was just buzzed about that. Like, if I can guess the dwarfs, you'll let me go on this for free? That was like winning a lottery if I could do it. So I remember my mom and dad and I were talking about, well, what are the seven dwarfs? You know, there's Dopey and Doc. And in the end, we couldn't come up with a list of all seven dwarfs. And we had to pay our ticket to get to ride It's a Small World. But I remember that cast member did something fun. So instead of, you know, just kind of trudging through the line, how long do we get on here? We had something fun to talk about. And even though we didn't really win the prize, so to speak, it was a special memory of us trying to figure out something together. And it sort of put a special place in the It's a Small World queue for me, because that was something really fun that cast member did for our family. And we had a good time trying to figure out the puzzle, even though we didn't really get it in the end.
Could you name all seven dwarves now that you're an adult?
With or without Google?
Without.
All right, let's try.
All right.
Sneezy, Sleepy, Dopey, Happy, Doc, Bashful, and the other one.
Grumpy.
Oh, how could I forget Grumpy? Oh my gosh. Yep.
You know, I know them all, and I don't know if they still do this as part of the training, but I was a cast member about 20 years ago. It was actually part of orientation, was to learn them all. So that's just one of the random bits and pieces I still have in my head from then, which is, you know, learning all the dwarves' names, just in case you're asked over the course of your day.
Or you ask someone else as a prize for them.
Right, exactly. So it would be embarrassing if they didn't know the answer. So you know, you have to know these things.
That's true. So did they give you an acronym to help you, or you just have to memorize them straight out?
No, it was just memorization. I mean, you know, they made it fun as part of the orientation, but no, it was one of the part of the training was to learn all seven dwarfs.
Interesting. What other company can say that? You have to memorize the name of seven dwarfs before you can have this job.
That's true.
All right, good. We're over to you for number three.
So number three is a couple years earlier than my first one. And I was there with she wasn't my wife yet. She's still my girlfriend at the time. So it was a few years before the honeymoon. And we were going through Hollywood Studios. And this park is always extra special to me because that's actually the park that I worked at. So I was just thrilled to kind of show her around and see everything. And we turn the corner onto New York Street, and there's a camera crew and people set up and filming something on New York Street. And we happen to be walking by right place, right time, and they stopped us and wanted to know if we wanted to be part of this commercial. And we were like, sure. So they got us and a handful of other people, happened to be, again, just passerby, and took us to this kind of roped-off area and did a little bit of kind of acting training. They were explaining that Lightning McQueen from Cars was going to be coming down the street, and we had to, he'd be driving slowly at first. We had to kind of watch him and cheer, and then he was going to, you know, when we got the signal from the assistant director, they were going to take off super fast, and we had to turn our heads like we were following his movements. And so we did a couple takes and everything like that. And this was apparently being filmed for some kind of a video that was being shown at the resorts. I've never seen it. It wasn't a commercial that was on like a TV or anything like that. It was just kind of things you would see, you know, on the TVs in the rooms. So if you've been staying at a Disney resort in the last couple of years, you may have seen myself and my wife cheering on Lightning McQueen. But it was just this, it was a random thing. We just happened to be in the right place at the right time. And it really just was this kind of special, unique thing that happened to us that we still talk about, you know, years later as one of these highlights in the park that day.
So that's interesting. This wasn't a staged event, but a true commercial that they were filming.
Yeah, this was completely random. Like, we were talking to the guys a little bit afterwards, and they were saying that it was going to be, it was a thing that they were, you know, filming some stuff in the parks. It was going to be shown, you know, at the resorts as part of their reel of things. Like I said, I've never seen it. I've done some YouTube searching to see if anyone's happened to post it, and nobody has, at least not that I've found. But it was, you know, this roped off thing, and you know, they gave us all these little, you know, keychains afterwards as kind of a thank you for being part of it. And it was a completely random thing, but it's a memory that I, you know, kind of cherish from that day.
That's very cool. Wow, I've never really heard of anyone being pulled into a real taping before.
I would love to see that video someday, though.
Well, you'll have to spend a few hours watching the Disney preview channel in your resort the next time you head down to Florida.
Yeah, there we go.
All right, good. So number four, it's back over to me. I'm going to rewind the clock to when I was a geeky high school student, you know, as opposed to a geeky adult of today. And I admit it, I was in the marching band, and we took the buses down to Walt Disney World to march in the parade, which was very amazing, a chance to do that, even though we were having these heavy uniforms and it was, you know, 200 degrees outside. It was fun to be able to march in the parade. And you were with all your friends, and you're kind of having your little taste of freedom, and you were at Walt Disney World. But the thing I remember is that we had to get set up for the parade, and where we got set up was a backstage area. I think it's sort of in the corner where Frontierland would be, and maybe where it meets Main Street USA, and how it kind of does that in the back. There's an area where they keep floats. And there were all these big warehouse type of roofs where the floats were stored, and you could see some of the uniforms. And I was just amazed that this is the backstage. So, yes, I've seen this parade before, and I've seen these floats go by, but this is where they keep them, and this is where they maintain these things, and they test them before they go out. And it opened up my eyes to this whole backstage concept that you experience the fun of Disney on stage, out in the park, but there's a whole world behind it that makes it happen. And I felt like I got a little peek into that backstage. And I think that was one of the moments that really helped me to become a big Disney fan, and realizing that, wow, there's a lot that goes on in the backstage. And it's cool. It's fun to see that. It doesn't ruin the onstage magic. But for me, it helped me become even more interested in what was happening, both onstage and backstage.
That is pretty cool. I mean, yeah, and it is really kind of neat to see the backstage areas and like you said, realize there's a whole other world kind of behind there that really makes it all tick.
Yeah.
And it's easy to lose yourself in the fantasy and the magic of gold, but it is run by people. It is run by, you know, everything. And it's kind of neat to get that view if you get the chance.
Yeah, I think so. I've been involved in some discussions recently on the forum where people are saying, well, if you go backstage, does that kind of ruin it for you? And maybe for some people it could, but for me, it's just given me a brighter appreciation of how things really come together.
Yeah, I'm the same way. I've seen backstage, and it doesn't lessen the magic for me at all.
Yeah, agreed. Number five, over to you.
Okay, so this one, my first two were random occurrences, things that just happened to be in the right place, right time, whether it be the filming or, you know, this magical moment with the mouse seeing the buttons. The last one was more of a intentional thing. So in 2001, it would be, I'd just gotten divorced from my first wife, and I had custody of our, at the time, 4-year-old daughter. And, you know, it's a rough time. It was a lot going on. So my mom took my daughter and I down to Florida, down to Disney World, just kind of get our minds off everything that was happening. And so we were down there, and it was a great trip. But what we did down there was they were doing the Leave a Legacy thing at Epcot, which if you got into Epcot, they have these sculptures as you walk in, which are these kind of monoliths with all these little metal tiles on them with people etched onto those. And they were still doing that. They were actually, selling the tiles and taking the pictures and etching them all on. So we did one. We paid the money and we sat there, and what they did is they sat and they posed us and they took some pictures and they gave us a little card with the information on it, and then later they sent us a thing with a picture of the etching and the location of it. So it's still there. It is on part of that Leave a Legacy thing. And it was just, aside from the fact that it was kind of a special thing, because this was, my daughter and I kind of starting, restarting in this new direction of our lives, but it kind of made us a part of the parks. For so long, we've been going to the parks, and, even nowadays where I write a blog for it and all this stuff, my daughter and I are part of the park. If you walk into the park and you're looking at this wall of faces, we're on there somewhere. And that's, it's just being a part of that. It is really cool. And when I go there, I still stop and I know exactly where it is. And I still stop and find it and look at it for a moment before I go on into the park.
That's very interesting. So when you got that done, did they take a picture of you and then they installed it sometime later so you couldn't really see it on your first trip?
Yeah, they took a picture. And I mean, we're going back, obviously, 14 years. They basically sat us down and, took pictures. And we saw what the picture looked like, but we didn't see what it would look like as an etching exactly. And then later, when they were actually installing everything, we got, the card. And it's this great little card, and it shows an image of what the etching looks like. And all of those little tiles are addressed with, letters and numbers, a sequence, so you can find it easily. And it had that on there as well, so we can find it again. But, it was, I don't think we saw what it actually looked like until we got that, and then we didn't get to see it on the sculpture until we actually went back down, a couple of years later.
Hmm. And how do you find your tile now? You probably just locate it by its positioning, but did you originally hunt for it by the letters and numbers, or did they give you a map? How did that work?
Originally there was letters and numbers. So if you look at the one edge on each of the sculpture of the structures, there's letters and numbers. Each row has a letter and a corresponding number, and basically, and then they're divided into like east and west. So essentially, you just use these. It's a series of like six letters and numbers that correspond to which side it's on, and then which structure it's on, and then which row it's on, and then which tile it is. A couple times, now I've got a decent idea of at least roughly where it is, and I can usually find it from there. You can go into the gift shop that's under Spaceship Earth, and they can look it up for you as well.
Hmm.
and assist you in finding it if you have to.
Gotcha. So you're really all over Walt Disney World, even if you're not visiting. You're on the Leave a Legacy, you're on the television.
Right, exactly. I'm not sure if anything else I've done. I've got to work my way through the parks, I think. But I haven't left anything at Magic Kingdom yet. Like, I didn't get a chance to do those bricks, unfortunately.
Yeah. Yeah, I can't remember when those were for sale, but it seems like it's been done for a while now for the bricks around there.
Yeah, those were, I want to say, mid-90s.
Interesting.
So it's been a while.
Yeah. Wow, I don't think I've known someone who did one of those tiles, so that's very interesting. All right, number six, over to me. I am going to talk about a relatively recent time. I took my daughter to Fort Wilderness, and we decided to take the boat to the Magic Kingdom from the Transportation and Ticket Center and then catch a smaller boat from the Magic Kingdom over to Fort Wilderness. We were headed to Trails End Buffet, which actually is one of my favorite sort of secret spots at Walt Disney World. It's a really good restaurant, not normally too busy because it is so far out of the way. It really is at the Trails End. But we were getting on the small boat that takes us from the Magic Kingdom to Fort Wilderness, and the captain took a few minutes and said to my daughter, "Hey, Princess, how are you doing?" And he gave her a Mickey Mouse sticker, and he gave me a Mickey Mouse sticker, which I didn't expect. And he just spent a few minutes talking to us and saying, "How was your day? And where are you going? Oh, you're going to have a nice meal." And I always remember how kind he was in taking that time to talk to us. It wasn't a huge moment with fireworks and a spectacular ending. It was just someone who took a few moments out of his day to make you feel special, like you weren't just another person getting hoarded on the boat to, you know, drag you over to the dinner. And I don't know what it is that stuck with me about that event, but it was just that little few moments that has always stayed with me. And I don't know why, but it is just a special moment in my voyages around Walt Disney World.
You know, sometimes that's all it is. It's just this little thing. You know, when on the honeymoon, you know, we were wearing our buttons, and a woman in Frontierland, a cast member, saw them and stopped us and brought us over to a counter that wasn't being used, and picked up a phone and dialed a special number and handed it to us, and there was Mickey and Minnie on the other end congratulating us. And it was sometimes just those little random things that it really makes, a vacation into really a magical trip. And Disney World's really good at those.
I think you're right. As I look back on our list, none of these were the $50,000 that Disney World spent that night to blow off the Wishes fireworks, even though I love it when they do that. It wasn't the tens of millions of dollars they spent on the latest attraction, even though I think those things are awesome. It's the little events between the people. It's the little peeks you get into how Disney operates. It's the few extra moments spent to recognize someone that really make things special.
Yeah, in some cases, it really is just down to, the people, like your boat captain or my parade mouse. It really, it's the people that make up, as Walt Disney World says, the cast members that make up this show, that really set it apart and really make it. And it's why, people like us keep going back, I guess.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think it is those special moments. This was a good list. All right, number one was the Dancing Cinderella Mouse. Number two was the It's a Small World Q Quiz. Number three was being in the commercial at Hollywood Studios. Number four was seeing backstage. Number five was the Leave a Legacy tile. And number six, as simple as a sticker and a few moments of chatting. Aaron, if people want to get in touch with you, how can they do that?
They can head on over to my website. It is a blog called Magic and Misadventures. It is magicandmisadventures.com. It is where I write about Walt Disney World, everything from my own personal experiences, going there over the years to, I'll give travel advice, or I'll, talk about maybe some new Disney news or review something. So it's really kind of all over the map. On the site, there is a social media tab. From there are links to my Magic and Misadventures Facebook page, to Instagram and Twitter. So once you head over to the blog, you can find me all over the place.
Very good. I always enjoy visiting your site, and you've got some really good stuff in there about the Haunted Mansion. So if people head to your site, I suggest they hunt that down and check it out.
Yeah, well, that is one of my favorites.
Good. All right, Aaron, thank you so much for joining me today.
All right, thank you for having me on.
Well, we've made it through our list of the top six personal memories at Walt Disney World, but this conversation is not over. I would love to hear about your personal memories. You can add them to their list. Visit the show notes page at worldofwalt.com/14 or worldofwalt.com/personal memories. Both of those links go to the same page, and it works great on desktops, tablets, and smartphones. Leave your comments about your personal memories in the comments section, and check out what other folks think as well. If you enjoyed today's podcast, it would be super if you would head over to iTunes to rate, review, and comment on it. If you thought today's podcast was a stinker, well, then please don't rate it on iTunes. But actually, in either case, I would love to hear from you. It's easy to get in touch with me. Let me know what you think about today's show, or just stop by and say hi. Here are four easy ways you can get in touch with me. Number one, send an email to me at info@worldofwalt.com. Number two, leave a voicemail message for me using your good old telephone, 407-391-5023. Number three, leave a fancy but easy online voicemail message for me at worldofwalt.com/voicemail. Or number four, check me out on social media. Facebook, I'm at facebook.com/worldofwalt. And on Pinterest, I'm at pinterest.com/worldofwalt. I'd also like to invite you to enter a very special contest that's open to all the folks who listen to this podcast and visit the show notes page. Head over to the show notes page. Again, that's at worldofwalt.com/14. And there you can enter to win a $100 Disney gift card. It's easy to enter by following the simple directions on that page. And it's my way of saying thank you for listening. To wrap up today's show, I would like to give a heartfelt thank you to you for spending a little bit of your time with me today. I would also like to thank everyone who visits the worldofwalt.com website. On the site, you can find interesting Disney articles, enter sweepstakes for terrific prizes, and chat with other folks who like Disney in the forums and in the comments sections. By listening here and by visiting the website, you allow me to share the fun of Disney with you. And that is pretty cool. Thank you so much for being a part of it. So until next time, my friends, may God bless you.
So there's a great big beautiful tomorrow, shining at the end of every day. There's a great big beautiful tomorrow, just a dream.